Okay, here we are. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. The last time we were together, we saw the call of Matthew by Jesus Christ, and we saw that Jesus Christ has the power to change, the power to change a life. We know that we saw the power of his power of healing, his power over nature, his power over demons, but he also has the power to transform a life. If he doesn't have the power to change us, we're stuck. We're stuck in the same place. But God has the power to change. Isn't it great to have somebody who can change us where change seems impossible? Who can bring in life where there was death? Who can take out the old and bring in the new in our lives? And every one of us here, I'm sure all of us could say, hey, I need some changing. Wouldn't you say that? I need some changing. But thank God. But we noticed in that passage that God made us new, that it wasn't enough just to get a little bit of window dressing done in your life, but you need a new beginning. And God is the God of new beginnings. So now we're going to look at how does that change come about? How is it that God can change me? Is it just by knowing some truths about God? Or is there something that has to happen in me in order for the change that the Bible talks about and the change that we want in our lives to be real in our experience? What does it take? And these passages of scriptures really bring that out and show us as we look at these miracles that Jesus does in these stories, and we'll see that God has given us a way that change can happen. Because it's wonderful to read stories about what God can do in somebody else's life. It's wonderful to hear testimonies of what God has done in someone else's life. But I want it to happen in my life, don't you? I want it to be real for me. And how can that be real for me? How can I know and experience the wonderful power of Almighty God? Let's look at these stories and see what God has to say. While he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him, saying, my daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her, and she will live. So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. In Matthew 9:20, and suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made well. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Now we're going to read it in Mark's gospel, because this story is recorded in three of the gospels. And Mark gives a little more detail as he gives an account of the same story. Excuse me. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So when we look at this first story, now the first thing is, a guy came and he wanted Jesus to come and heal his daughter because she was at the point of death. His name was Jairus. We find that in Mark's gospel. And he was a ruler in the synagogue. Now that was an uncommon thing, because the rulers in the synagogue, they weren't very happy with Jesus. But you know what? Jairus got to a point where he didn't care who was happy about Jesus or not, because his daughter was dying. He got to a point where it didn't matter what other people thought. It's good to get there, isn't it? It didn't matter what anybody else was going to say. As for him, he was going to go to Jesus, because that was his only hope. And you know, when we understand that Jesus is our only hope, we are not going to be ashamed of being a follower of Jesus Christ. No matter what the world says about it, no matter who makes fun of it or tries to discourage us, we know there's only one tap, only one source, only one place where we can find relief, and that's in Jesus Christ. And he knew that. He knew there was no other hope. But we're going to find another person who knew there was no other hope. But when it says speaks about Jairus when he first came, it says a ruler came and worshipped him. You notice what he did? He worshipped him, saying, "My daughter's just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live. Come and touch my daughter and she will she will live." And then when we look at the woman who was following Jesus in the crowd, remember there was a great crowd thronging around him? And in this this tells us here, this woman had suffered for 12 years, and she had spent everything she had, and she had suffered from many physicians, and she got no better but worse. So this woman was completely, completely at a place where nothing else could help. It was beyond the doctors. There was nothing they could do. She had spent all her money. She was broke. She was sick, and if she was constantly having a flow of blood, an issue of blood, she would have been anemic, weak, just having a terrible life with no hope, absolutely none, except she heard about Jesus. She heard that Jesus could do something. Now, one thing about the religion of that day, the Jewish faith, is that if you had an issue of blood, then you were considered unclean. And because you were unclean, you weren't supposed to be out in the crowd, so to speak. But at this point, she didn't care. You see, there was a great multitude who were following Jesus, and they were thronging him. And she got it in her mind that, listen, she had heard about Jesus. She came behind him in the crowd and touched the hem of his garment. For she said, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." So now we find a woman who is saying to herself, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just reach out and touch the hem of that garment, I will be made well." And so we see another touch here. This time, Jairus had said, "Will you come and touch my daughter?" Now we have a woman saying, "If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. If I could just touch Jesus," that's all she wanted. "If I could only just touch him, that's all. I don't have to hug him. I don't have to hold him. I don't have to have a conference with him. I don't have to make long prayers. Nothing like that. I just have to touch Jesus. And if I touch him, I know I'll be made well." And so through the crowd, the throngs all around him, you can imagine what it was like as she, with her weakness, struggled to get to touch the hem of his garment. But there was something about this woman, and that's that she was absolutely determined, because she knew there was no other place to go. Like Jairus, who was at the top because he was a ruler in the synagogue, the woman with the issue of blood was at the bottom because she would even be considered unclean. Both of them had come to the place where they both knew they had no hope except in Jesus Christ. And let me encourage you that no matter where we are in life, whether we have it all together, so to speak, whether we have everything or whether we have nothing, what really matters is whether we touch Jesus Christ or whether we're touched by him. That's all that matters. Everything else won't matter a hoot. This will matter the most, to touch Jesus Christ or be touched by him. And so she comes, and she comes behind him in the crowd. She's reaching. You can almost imagine her reaching through the throngs, perhaps even between two people, just so she could get her hand there and just touch the hem of his garment. And what happens? The moment that she touched the hem of his garment, immediately the fountain of blood was dried up. And so it wasn't that, you know, occasionally she bled. She was bleeding all the time. all the time. And immediately, as soon as she touched him, the clothes, that's all, just the clothes, that's all. Just the bare, oh, such a small little touch, just the very edges of his garments. Immediately she felt the healing happen inside. Right away, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body she was healed of that affliction. Power to heal. And I just want to encourage you, reach out. Reach out to Jesus Christ. Now we're going to discover, how does that touch work? What causes that touch to happen? Well, what Jesus says afterwards, he speaks about her faith. Her faith is what it was. The touching was faith. The touching was believing that God would, that Jesus would do something for her right in that circumstance and situation. It was a reach of faith. Now, we know that it was faith, because would she bother to do it if she didn't think anything could happen? No. We know that it was faith because not only it wasn't something that was easy to do either, it was like to get into that crowd and to press her way through and just to try and reach out and touch the hem of his garment, that it was a step of faith, wasn't it? And in that place, there was victory. There was something that could happen and something that did happen. And not only for her was it a step of faith, but for Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, it was a step of faith for him to come and to humble himself in the face of all the other leaders in the synagogue and all those that were opposed to Jesus Christ and who really didn't think anything of him. It was amazing that he would come, but it was a step of faith for him to come. It was moving, shifting away his dependence upon anything else, because I'm sure he had tried every doctor there was as well, and moving away from all of that and saying, my only hope now is Jesus, that you could come in your life to the place where your only real hope is Jesus. That's where Jairus came. That's where this woman came. And they were not disappointed, because immediately she was healed. Immediately she experienced the mighty power of God. Now Jesus hadn't spoken to her. Jesus hadn't said, be well, be healed. None of that happened here, did it? All she did was reach out in faith. Now I want to encourage you that God is reaching out to all of us, that he is ready. You know, when Jairus came to him and said, my daughter is sick, will you come and lay hands on her? What did he say? What did he do? Immediately, it says, he rose up and followed him. Immediately, God is ready to respond to your need. He's ready to respond to the affliction and the situation in your life. Immediacy is what is mentioned here. And he's ready to respond. But on top of that, we have the picture here of us reaching out to God. And oh, we ought to. If we are aware that Jesus Christ, who he is, and if we're aware of the need in our life, and as I said, every one of us have need. Some of us are broken here in our minds and in our emotions. We're broken in our way of thinking, because sin has affected every one of us. Some of us are broken in our bodies. Some of us are broken in our relationships. And all of that brokenness, there's a place to come with that brokenness, and that's to Jesus. And I just want to encourage you with all my heart and soul. Come, come, come and reach out. Reach out with a little bit of faith that you have towards Jesus Christ and put your trust him to do something in your life. Reach out. You see, sin is the biggest brokenness all of us have. And sin is that brokenness which will destroy us, and nothing else can cure sin, just like nothing else could cure this woman's disease. Nothing else can cure it, but Jesus can. And so she reaches out and touches, and it says in Mark 5:30, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? So what does it tell us? Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. We know, we saw all these statements about the power of God, the power of God, the power of God in all these aspects. And now we find that power can be sourced, so to speak. And that power is sourced in two ways. One, it's sourced because we touch Jesus. It's Jesus. And it's sourced because of faith. Those are the two things that we find. We find it's the person of Jesus, because he had to reach out and touch Jesus. It's not reach out and become religious. It's not reach out and,
start a new religion because the other ones aren't good enough. It's not anything like that. It's reaching out and touching a person. It's reaching out and touching a person who is willing to be touched, who made himself available. This woman could never touch Jesus if he had not come down to earth and become one of us and walked that road. But he did because he wanted to touch the human race. And he wants the human race to reach out and touch him. And let me tell you, even though there's multitudes that were following Jesus, Jesus turns around and asks such a question to say, who touched me? Now, how many people had touched him? How many had touched him? Many. Right? He was thronged by people. They were all around him. So why would he reach around? And that's what the disciples said. They said, look what the disciples said to him. His disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? Hey, Jesus, look around you. All multitudes of people have bumped into you and touched you. What was the difference between all that multitude that were around him and one person? Faith. It was faith that made the difference. Or we can be close to Jesus in a way. We can be in the services and hear the word of God. And we can be out in nature and enjoying the wonders of what God has made for us and feel that the Creator is real and the Creator is there. But it's still not enough. We'll be like the crowds who thronged this Jesus. But when we reach out in faith, when we cast all our hope on Jesus Christ, we reach out, oh Lord, I'm coming to you. Nothing else matters now, Lord. I need you in my life. When he becomes the focus, when he becomes the center, we can touch him. We can touch Jesus. Who touched me? Now, you might have look at this and you say, did Jesus know that this woman was going to be touching him? Everybody probably will say yes. Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus know everything? Did Jesus know everything while he was here on earth? He didn't? Okay. What didn't Jesus know? Jesus said, no man knows the day or the hour, not even himself. Only the Father knows.
He didn't know that woman was going to touch him until he touched her. He didn't even know who she was, and he could see it.
You see, Jesus, though he had the privilege of knowing all things, he gave up that privilege when he came down to become a child. And God gave him, of course, the Spirit of God had given him great knowledge, great truth, and all things were being revealed to him as he was going forward, everything he needed to know. But that doesn't mean that he knew everything at all times. I believe he knew much more than we could ever imagine. But at the same time, it says the reason why he said, who touched me, is because he perceived power had gone out from him. That's why. Because he perceived that power had gone out from him. When Jesus emptied himself to become one of us, he really did empty himself. And he only allowed the Father and the Spirit to fill him to exactly to the measure. And you know, it's only at the end there, as he goes down to wash the disciples' feet, it says, Jesus knowing all things. All things. Now that doesn't take away from the fact that he was God. What it does is it shows us his willingness to set aside his privileges and live in dependence upon the Father. But we can see here that this virtue or power had gone out from him because he looked around to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. I'm sure at that point he knew. But he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Mark 5:34. And so we can see that the reaching out, the touch of faith, brought the answer for this woman. And I want to encourage you today. We need the power of God. And I can look at circumstances every single day and say, whoa, only the power of God. And I don't have to look far to find circumstances, brokenness, messes, all kinds of situations. I need the power of God. I need God's power. But a lot of times, I don't have to look far beyond myself, my own life, and say, whoa, I need the power of God. I need God in this situation. We talked earlier about forgiving other people. You need the power of God. You won't do that without God's power. You cannot cover sin without the Spirit of God covering it first. You need it. You need the power of God to get rid of the record of wrongs. And without God's power, you will hold on to that record of wrongs, and every opportunity it will show its ugly face. We need the power of God. Reach out and touch Jesus Christ today, the person of Jesus, by faith, and you will experience the wonderful healing power of God. This woman was made whole. And we see the affectionate word of Jesus, daughter, your faith has made you well. Just speaking to her, your faith, that God honored her faith in that situation. But let's go back to Jairus and see what happens with him. When Jesus came into the ruler's house, that's Jairus' house, and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said to them, "Make room, for the girl is not dead but sleeping." And they ridiculed him. Now there's two ways of looking at this, because the Bible talks about when we die, we actually sleep. The body sleeps, the soul goes to be with the Lord. And Jesus may have been referring to that, or he may have been saying, listen, she's not as dead as you think she is. She's actually in some kind of a coma. Don't know which one it is. Wouldn't matter either way. But because the truth of the matter is that Jesus knew what he was doing. Absolutely knows what he's doing. It's safe to take your affairs to Jesus. He knows what he's doing. It's safe to bear your soul to Jesus. He knows what he's doing. He understands exactly what the situation is better than all the other people in the world, and all the philosophers and all the wise men and all the teachers that have come and gone through the ages, and all the so-called great ones that have popped up through history. And so much of our Western culture has been deceived in the last 20 to 30 years by Eastern mysticism coming to tell us, we know, we know, we know, we know. And all the while Jesus says, I know. I know exactly what's going on in every situation. Trust God. Turn to Jesus, not to philosophies that have no power or no life in them. Now, what was happening? There was a great noise. It says the flute players and the noisy crowd and the wailing going on. As soon as somebody died, the family started to wail. And if you were ever at where somebody from that culture dies, even today, there's this wailing that goes on. It's like, and they just start, and they wail until they have no breath left. Take a deep breath, and they start wailing all over again. And not only do they do that, but they hire people to come and wail. And so they hire mourners. It's a mark of prestige, maybe, to have more mourners than anybody else. I don't know. But they would have hire a whole crowd of people to come, and everybody wailing at the same time. And there would be flute players and musicians playing mournful music. And that could go on for days. Sometimes 7 to 10 days. Boy, you talk about a wake. And so that's what would have begun to happen. As soon as she was pronounced dead, the mourning would start. And that's why when Jesus comes, the racket is on. A great clamor of mourning, and the wailing is happening, and the noisy crowd is there, and Jesus says, make room. This girl's not dead. She's only asleep. And it may very well be Jesus was saying, hey, listen. I conquer death here. I'm the one. I'll take care of this. But what was the crowd's reaction to that? They ridiculed him. They mocked him. And so he puts the crowd outside, and we find in the Mark's Gospel that he actually took Peter, James, and John with him. They go into the house with the mother and the father, and he took her by the hand, and the girl arose. And I think in Mark's Gospel it says... Let's see if I have it here. No. He says, young girl, arise. He just spoke to her. And he touches her and by the hand, and he lifts her up. Now we have another touch. And this is the touch of Jesus. This is Jesus reaching out and touching someone, just like we reach out and touch him. Either way works fine, friends, because Jesus Christ is interested in your touch in his life. And so they were weeping and wailing loudly, it says, but no longer, because it says, and the report of this went out into all of that land. There was a testimony. Jesus Christ can raise people up. Jesus Christ can heal. Jesus Christ can do it, but it's through a touch. In this case, it was this touch from him that caused that to happen. And so the next story says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind man came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe I'm able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he what? He touched their eyes. There's that word touch again. Saying, according to your faith, let it be done to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, see that no one knows it. But when they had departed, they spread the news about him in all of that country. Now, sometimes Jesus told them not to tell anybody about the miracle. I think it probably hampered him, created so much of a stir. Sometimes it hindered his ability to keep on preaching the gospel. But that wasn't going to stop from healing people and helping people. Sometimes he did them publicly. Sometimes he did them off to the side. And sometimes he were told people not to tell anybody, and they told more people anyway. But what we can find out in these three stories here, the thread that ties these three stories together is this. The touch of Jesus Christ by faith. The touch of Jesus by faith. Whether it is Jesus reaching out and touching. But in each one of these circumstances, we can see that there was desire. There was a desire from Jairus, right? There was desire from the woman. And there was desire by these two blind men to actually know the touch of the Master's hand. Let me encourage you. Pursue the Lord. Desire Him. Reach out and touch Him. And He will reach out and touch you. And boy, He is powerful. The power of Almighty God to reach into any life that's willing to come to Him. Doesn't matter whether you're up here like Jairus, whether you're at the bottom like this woman, or whether you're a blind beggar by the roadside, because that's what blind people were. They were beggars. It doesn't matter either way. Jesus Christ can touch and make whole anyone who's willing to come to Him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning. Thank You for the power of Jesus Christ. And thank You today that Your power is in this very room. Now, Lord, we cannot physically reach out and touch the hem of Your garment. But You have shown us beyond the physical touch, there is the place of faith. And that the place of faith is touching. The place of faith is where we contact Jesus Christ today. And as we reach out and touch You, Lord, and as we know that You're willing to reach out and touch us, oh, Lord, that we would see the miracles happen in our lives of trusting You, of being delivered, of being set free. Thank You, Jesus, that, Lord, you're passing by in these circumstances, but, Lord, You're always ready to reach out and touch us. I pray, Lord, that we would experience, Lord, the touch of the Master's hand today. In Jesus' name, amen.